episode 12 of The Inner Odyssey, a podcast about developing self-awareness, self-confidence, and self-determination through living honestly and practicing self-love. Thank you for joining us today. Today, we want to give a brief discourse about a topic that I think should be put on the table before we get into our discussions about what you are paying attention to. In episode 11, we listed three suggestions for how you can use your attention and time to bolster your self-confidence. They were, number one, by becoming mindful of what you are opening your mind to, that is, what you are consuming and putting into your thoughts. Number two, by starting to pay attention to what you are paying attention to. And number three, by retaining the ability to exercise control over what you choose to ignore and conversely attend to. Today I will talk about passive and active consumption of content, be it media, books, commentary, music, clickbait, and even food, and the need to engage in rigorous critical analysis, critical thinking, when you consume this material. My goal is to encourage you to use your mind, your thinking faculty, and be determined to forego consuming on autopilot, living by analogy, and relinquishing to another your power to make decisions and advocate for yourself. For a moment, think about the aspects of content that captures your attention. It is the headline, the title, the opening sentence of a piece, usually. However, have you ever stopped to consider why you were attracted to this particular piece of content? Why you are choosing to attend to this one particular thing in lieu of another? Why does there tend to be individual differences in what we choose to attend to? As we mentioned somewhere before, there's too much stimulus for any one person to attend to at any given time. We have to filter and choose what to attend to. As it happens, what you reliably choose to attend to will determine how you view your world. This is why some are able to see conspiracies everywhere and in everything, and others find things just honky-dory. This is why comedy is so subjective, and some folks like horror movies and others prefer action and drama. It's just a matter of how much you think about and analyze the plausibility and validity of what is being provided to you for consumption based on how much valid information you believe that you have about the topic. Think about what is more likely to capture your attention. A story headline about the Lavender Festival, or the newest school shooting, or the latest attempt by some unscrupulous, shameless politician to manipulate elections. Research has shown that the more concerned you are about something, the better and more reliably it is able to elicit excitement or fear. The more excitable you are to get about it, the more likely it is to capture your attention and for you to attend to it. Be it snakes, being buried alive, infection, drowning, or anything that arouses your interest, stories about those topics are more likely to capture your attention. Let's consider reading a book or listening to music or even this podcast. Anything you're inviting into your world, regardless of the intent, education, or entertainment. You can either consume it actively or passively. When you engage in a passive manner, you tend to listen and accept, take for granted as truth, what is being said to you. You will laugh when prompted and feel scared at the appropriate times, etc. In other words, you allow yourself to be controlled. You place yourself in a position to be taken advantage of and abused. You become more stupid, more thoughtless, a leaf swinging in the wind, easily manipulated, always. When you interact with the content passively, you are only engaging with the topic superficially, and the best comment you can make is simply, I like it, or I don't like it. That is good or not so much, or dumb, huh? You're only capable of a binary analysis for which there is no real foundation underlying the impression other than an easily swayed emotional response that you have not given much thought to either. However, When you are actively engaged, you ask questions, you want to know everything, the who, what, where, when, why, and hows about that thing. You're able to come up with a multifaceted analysis that appreciates inherent nuances and contradictions and confirm for yourself that things are not as simple and black and white as they usually are presented. Questions beget questions, and curiosity and discovery rule today. You are able to notice more, make associations that were previously not obvious, generate new ideas, clarify your understanding, discover facets of yourself that you were not aware of, and above all, realize how amazing you really are and attract to yourself more meaningful experiences. Passive engagement, you may argue, is fine for things that are not important or things that you believe is of no concern to you. But I would like to posit that it should never be that way at all. Everything that attracts your attention, even if it were only transitorily, leaves an indelible impression on you and changes you forever in some manner. I am sure you too have seen something that you wish you could unsee, or heard something that you wish you could unhear, and even done something that you wish you could undo. This is all but impossible because even if erased, there will always remain an imprint, a mark, a signature, some indirect knowledge of that thing's previous existence, even if only in the memory. In addition, as I mentioned before, everything that attracts your attention was aroused by something intrinsic to your consciousness, be it from a fear or for a pleasure. If you do not know that something existed, even if it were in your field of view, you would not attend to it because it is outside your consciousness and irrelevant to you. Think of all the things in your world that you use, that you see, that you have no idea how it works or why it's there, how it came to be. If your goal is to better understand your world and, more importantly, better understand and improve yourself, every interaction should be deemed of importance and given just consideration. So, what exactly is critical analysis, critical thinking? It is a thoughtful and rigorous analysis that impacts and informs everything you do. It helps you to determine and understand how and why this content, a decision, was created and crafted. Was it to persuade or just to provide information? Whether there was logical and valid transition between ideas, whether things were approached and laid out in a plausible and systematic manner that is easy to follow, or was it just slapped together haphazardly? Whether the arguments and ideas were relevant to the argument being made or topic being addressed? If the ideas imparted support for the conclusion reached? Whether there were errors in reasoning that validates a contradictory argument? Critical thinking and analyzing content does not mean that you have to find fault with it, even though you absolutely can. It is about ensuring that the content meets your standards and is congruent with your beliefs. From the perspective of the aforementioned suggestions about how to use your attention to bolster your self-confidence, subjecting the things that you interact with to critical analysis will afford you the opportunity to realize and acknowledge the beliefs that underpin your opinions and points of view about that thing. That is, why did the piece interact with you in the way it did? It affords you the opportunity to obtain a different perspective about a thing because upon analysis, you're able to see it from additional perspectives. It gives you the latitude to amend or augment your thinking if you so desire. It allows you to act more decisively, speak with conviction, and live with integrity because you truly know why you are making the decisions and choices that you are. You are not being persuaded or convinced, but choosing. I want to encourage you to go beyond the superficial and engage in insightful and critical analysis with everything. I want you to use your ability to think and reason to control your world and actively decide and consent to what is being placed in it and therefore what you will have as an experience. Attempt, make an effort to connect the dots so that you are able to provide relevant information that will impact whatever situation. Pause, stop for a second before you reply or hit send. Reread the sentence slowly or aloud. If fears are aroused, analyze what is causing you to be fearful and accept it, while simultaneously acknowledging your ability to handle the situation bit by bit. Delay a response in any decisions. Decisions made when panicked or in fear are never sound. I want you to calm your mind so that you can actively make decisions rather than let someone else make decisions on your behalf. We all possess the ability to analyze and reason. If you can communicate, you can reason and therefore analyze. In some, this ability is more developed, absolutely. But for all, unfortunately, if you do not use it, you would lose it, regardless of your starting point. Many times, when we engage with something, we think we understand it because all the words made sense. Or we were able to relate it to something we experienced in the past. Or we plan to let someone that we consider knowledgeable explain it to us. Sometimes we may even be a bit confused, so we let it go because of some excuse, too tired, too busy, not smart enough, or just plain don't care enough. That, folks, is emblematic of mental lassitude, and in this day and age, it will not suffice. This mental lethargy is a habit of laziness rather than stupidity. It is while we are bored and unengaged and tend to be passive consumers of anything that is thrust in front of us for consumption, without consideration for how it will impact us beyond the immediate. A habit that is either rooted in complacency, facilitated by fears and feelings of hopelessness, and buttressed by a desire to be led, fed, and provided comfort, so that we can engage in things that seem to make life more comfortable and without conflict. But at what cost? What is the long-term result? Consider how much more bright and engaging your world would be should you but get involved. How much more stimulating and wide-ranging your extemporaneous dialogue would become if you but explore. How much more sharp and agile your mind will work when you have multiple fields in things of interest to pull from. How much more prodigious your sense of humor and patience can grow if you would but only actively get involved. Consider what blossoms when you simply ask why of that initial impression, the I don't like this or that. It could be of a song or joke you've heard or a comic or book you've read. What does that simple query allow to unfold? That why? It emancipates excitement, understanding, and interest if the subject is engrossing. It compels us to act further if we are interested or gain a limited understanding of something new if we are not. But most importantly, regardless of its appeal, it informs us about ourselves and gives us insight into what prejudices and biases underpin our beliefs in a way that nothing else can. I implore you to take the ASS out of passive and replace it with an RO and an ACT. Forget Siri and Alexa and discover Linda with a Y. Read, explore, engage, question everything, educate yourself. You owe it to yourself. Demonstrate self-love and self-respect by nurturing and developing your best self today so that your future self will be proud. You owe it to yourself and to the future you. I came across a quote in Walden by Henry David Thoreau that sums up this episode concisely. In his discussion about the economy of things, he expounds the following. The cost of a thing is the amount of life which is required to be exchanged for it, immediately or in the long run. So, as we go forward with our discussion about using your attention, consider what you are unceremoniously exchanging your attention for and how much of your time, that is, your life, is it worth? That's all for today. Happy Easter to you all, and stay safe and healthy. Thank you for joining us today in the Inner Odyssey. I'm ever grateful for the time you are taking to listen and participate in this discussion. Share the show and subscribe to our podcast on anchor.fm/theinneroddyssey, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember to participate in the hashtag TIO Truth Day Challenge on twitter.com/theinneroddyssey. Until we meet again, care enough to act with virtue, dream despite your deepest fears, live honestly with dignity and grace, and above all, love without expecting reciprocation as you continue your inner odyssey.